All right, well, this morning we have, as we mentioned earlier, Mark Cornelison and Buddy Hsu here, and I won't say much, but Mark is a minister down in Texas. Buddy is up in Michigan. They partnered together, and you'll see how they met and what they do and everything like that. And so we're very glad that you guys came yesterday and today, so thanks for being here. So let's give a warm, E-free welcome to Mark and Buddy.
Awesome. Findlay Evangelical Free Church.
I'm just going with E-Free.
See, that one hard.
You saw the video. I can't say the whole name. So
I said it and said it well. And I'm from Texas, and we're supposed to be slow talkers or something like
that. We're fixing to, y'all.
Yeah. Anyway, good morning. We are so glad to be here with you guys. Thank you for letting us come and get to share. And I want to put things at ease just really quickly for you. We are not here to talk about health and fitness this morning. So I don't know if you usually have donuts out there, but there weren't any this morning. So next Sunday, maybe they'll bring the donuts back when the Biggest Loser people aren't here. But it's okay. That's not what we're about. We both were contestants on season 13 of The Biggest Loser. There's a lot of things that we could talk about the show and all that kind of stuff. But what we've found is that a lot of people don't watch the show. They may have heard of it. They kind of know that it's a deal where people go and they lose weight and there's challenges and somebody wins money or something like that. But when it comes down to it, that's not really what is important. And so if you have questions for myself or for Buddy afterwards about the show, if you're one of those people who just loves it and want to know more, we're more than happy to talk about it. In fact, Buddy will talk about it forever, and I can't get him to leave. So talk to Buddy. Unless you're in a hurry, then talk to me, and I'll give you real quick answers, all right? But what we are here for this morning is what's more important is what God did behind the scenes and a lot of things that we've seen God do in our lives over the last 2.5 years. And so want to be able to share those with you, want to be able to invite you in to kind of see some things that maybe you would never have imagined would be happening in Hollywood. And so we get to share that with you this morning.
Yeah, just kicking off, we've got some slides here. We also want to recognize that a lot of people don't watch The Biggest Loser. If people come up to us almost repentant when we go, I'm so sorry, I haven't seen you on TV. I'm like, it's totally okay. I didn't even really watch the show. I wasn't a big fan until they tortured me on the show, and now I watch it and stuff. So, but we have some slides so you can get to see and kind of get a feel for what we went through. This slide, I just wanted, before we kicked off, to introduce you to my family. There I am with my Ohio State sweatshirt. Go Bucks! I live in Michigan, but I attended the Ohio State University, so I thought I'd get some love when I was down in my hometown. My beautiful wife, Shelby, my oldest son there, just turned 10. His name's Isaac. We have a daughter I'm going to talk about, our second child that we lost. Her name is Isabella. Yana is my 6-year-old girl there. Savannah's my 4-year-old daughter on my lap. And Levi is now 2. He's on my wife's lap. He was born, actually, while I was gone on the show. So just wanted to introduce you to a bunch of shoes up in Michigan.
And I get to share with you my family. I did graduated from the University of North Texas.
Anyone Thank even you. Know okay, that yeah. university? Yeah.
That's worth a shot. You know, at least it wasn't like Texas A&M or University of Texas or something that maybe you've heard of. So anyway. But this is my family, and I wanted to be able to share that as well. And you guys need to know that when we do this, when we get to go and share, our families have been through an unbelievable time as well. Because for Buddy and I, when we were on the show, we actually left at the exact same time from The Biggest Loser. From start to finish for us, we were gone from our families for 6 months. And so there's no communication, there's nothing like that. And so the least we can do when we get to come share now is at least put a picture of them up on the screen so that everybody can see our family, because they have had some incredible experiences through this as well that we're going to get to share with. My family looks really huge, and there's a reason to that. Is I have been a youth pastor for just over 17 years. Oh, there's your ride.
I have a sorted pass for a pastor.
Yeah. There's a Michigan guy at this church. Let's go get him. I've been a youth pastor for the past 17 years, and as of September of last year, I actually transitioned, and I now work for a mission organization, which Blair was referring to, called Vision Trust. For about 9 years of my youth ministry time, I've been at a church in near Houston, Texas, and we have been very connected with Vision Trust, and it's a great mission group. And every year, we would take a trip to the Dominican Republic, and we've done ministry there for many, many years. much further with my church than I've been a part of. But for me and my family, it's been about 9 years that we've gotten to go and connect with the people of the Dominican. Buddy actually joined us last year on our trip, and we got to share that experience together. And so when I show a picture of my family, I got to show a picture of some of our kids that are our sponsor kids that we have in the Dominican, because they are definitely a part of our family as well. So we're a big family. Anyway, there's five of us, but there's actually three more that are added every year that we get to go down to see our friends and family that are in the Dominican. So let me give you a quick overview here. Right next to me with the Astros shirt on is my oldest son. His name is Chisholm. Chisholm was actually on the television show with me. The season that Buddy and I were on was a couple season, and so we had to go with somebody else. Chisholm was one that joined with me. So we were a father-son team, kind of, for our season. Right next to me on the other side is a guy named Jose. Jose has been a sponsor child for our family for the last 3 years. He's an amazing young man. He's growing in his relationship with Christ. He's growing in his health, education, just everything that we get to do and be a part of. Right next to him is my youngest son, Josiah. If you are going to join us for the men's retreat that they were talking about at Skyview, we're actually going to get to, Josiah's going to get to join me, and Isaac's going to get to come with him. So we're bringing a couple of our boys with us to enjoy men stuff. I don't know what that means. I just know that bacon's in everything. So when Josiah heard bacon, he wanted to go, because we don't eat that anymore. So he wants to go and get that. So he is 14 years old. He's about 6'1". He wears a size 14 shoe. Texas football people love him. They think he is just a super guy. Bad thing is, he's kind of doesn't like football. So we're kind of working on that a little bit. Right next to Chisholm on the other side is another one of our sponsored children. His name is Paul Mel, and we've been sponsoring him for about 8 years. Down in front is my daughter, Glendy. She is 18 years old. She is graduating high school this year, so we have this whole emotional thing. Anybody graduated kids from high school and cared? Okay, yeah, that's where we are. Right in the middle is this beautiful little girl named Chasey, and she's we've been sponsoring her for 8 years as well. And then my awesome, amazing, wonderful wife, Kathy, is there. We've been married almost 25 years this August. So you get an idea what our family looks like. You understand where we came from. I want you to know, I was a pastor for a long time until now. I do the mission stuff. Buddy still is a pastor in Michigan. Before we came together and met each other on the show, we didn't know each other at all. All right? We completely were in two totally different worlds. And for my side of the story, it really started with Chisholm. And when Chisholm was 9 years old, he had a really, really bad accident. Fell off of about an 8-foot wall, totally shattered, broke through everything in his right ankle, and broke through growth plate, all the bone, everything. And over the course of about 6 years, 5 years, he had 7 different surgeries. He was in a wheelchair for much of that time. He went through a lot of rehab and things like that. And so from the ages of 9 to about 15, my son was laying on a couch or in dealing with some of these things when most boys are out playing football and baseball and active and all that. He's not able to do a lot of the things that they were doing. Because of my life and our life that had us working in churches, churches are awesome at going, somebody's sick, they need food, right? So we always had food. And even more, oh, somebody's sick in your house, they need dessert, right? So we always had cakes and pies and cookies and things showing up at our house. And so Chisholm ate and I ate, and I felt terrible for my son. And so, of course, I bought him a video game system because he's sitting there with nothing to do, so let's play video games. And we slowly gained weight more and more. I struggled with my weight all the way since I was in high school. Just never took care of my health. It just wasn't a big deal. But this really added to it, because I just felt like I couldn't go do things when my son was having to sit on the couch, right? So we kind of contribute. I contributed to that. And all of a sudden, Chisholm turns 15, and he's close to 300 pounds. Probably just under 300 at that point. A couple of years later, he's about to graduate high school. He's around 350 pounds. Once he was cleared and was able to do things, he was so far behind because of how big sports is and the progression of the other guys that didn't have the block in their life. And so he didn't want to do anything active. And so just like a good dad would do, right? I'm close to 300 pounds. I got a son that's about 350 pounds, a little bit more. I go and say, hey, I got this great idea. How about we take our greatest weakness and probably the thing that you're most embarrassed about in your life, and let's go put it on public television for all the world to see, right? So Chisholm was totally against the idea at first. When we saw that, we used to watch The Biggest Loser all the time. We were huge fans of the show as a family. So we'd watch it. We'd sit there on the couch. We'd get our Bluebell ice cream, and we'd sit there and eat, and you know, That during the commercial break, you know, that I don't know if you've ever seen the show, but they'll be like, all right, during this commercial break, do 15 push-ups. And I'd be like, I'm going to do one because I got to go to the bathroom and then I'm going to come back and sit down on the couch, right? That was kind of us. So we knew the show. Well, they had their commercial that said, would you like to be a part of The Biggest Loser? And we said, let's just give it a shot. Well, Chisholm, he's about to graduate high school, 18 years old. He's like, Dad, absolutely not. I'm not going to do this. And I ended up winning because I said something to him that turned out to be a total lie that I've asked forgiveness for, so that you know. But I told him, I said, Chisholm, think about it. There is not a chance in the world we are ever going to make it on that television show. Unfortunately, for him, we did. We started going through the process. They really liked us. They liked the fact that we were father-son. That was a cool demographic for them. And so we started going through this. But what happened in June of that year, this was 2011, we were on one of our trips to the Dominican Republic. And I, as youth pastor, I was organizing the trip. I would set this whole thing up. I'd get everything all planned that we were going to do, what we were going to do with this trip. And when we got there at just over 300 pounds at that point, the last 2 days of the trip, I literally sat under a tree and did nothing. Because physically, I felt so terrible. I couldn't do what we needed to do. It was hot. It was uncomfortable. The work was just too much. The stress low, everything. And I just gave up. And I remember still sitting underneath that tree and going, okay, my health has now gotten to a different level than I had ever thought about. Because for a long time, I was really going, okay, I don't like the fact that I'm wearing 2X and 3X shirts, but at least I can still do stuff, and I'm funny, so I can make people laugh so that they don't notice that I'm huge, which is what a lot of people do when they gain weight. They become funnier because they deflect. And so I was okay with that. But all of a sudden, as a pastor, as a person who was a follower of Jesus Christ, leading people into mission, I found myself in a place where I was not able to do the very thing that God had called me to do because I had let my physical health get so poor. The last day of our trip, Chisholm actually sat with me because he was feeling pretty miserable as well. And we both said, you know what, if we don't make this TV show, at the very least, we're going to do something. Because this now is affecting what I'm able to do with my calling through my relationship with Christ. And he agreed. Well, we didn't have to worry about that because sure enough, we ended up getting called and made the show. If you haven't seen the show, you probably don't know what Buddy and I look like before. This is a little visual. The picture on the left... Yeah, on the left is me, and that's actually in 2011 in the Dominican Republic, so this is that same trip that I was talking about. The other one is obviously Buddy, and he's a real pastor because he gets dressed up, so I wear t-shirts and shorts, and, you know, I was just a youth pastor. So, but this is kind of a visual so that you guys know where we started from. I love this verse. It's Philippians 1:6, and I write it in everything. We have people that ask us to sign things and all that, and every time I have to sign something, get to sign something, I always put this verse on there. Because this verse absolutely was what God used in me to go, hey, I want to get your attention to what's going on. And you can see what it says there. For I'm confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it in the day of Christ Jesus. And I love that because it's Paul talking to the Philippians, and he's saying, you know what, I'm confident about what's happening with you because Christ is leading you in a direction that's going to end up in perfection when you see him. And so everything that we went through on this show, for me, I kept repeating that verse over and over and over. And I would think about this and go, this is a perfecting process. I can be confident in what God is doing in me. It really started because of this guy right here. We did not know each other before the show. We connected because of the TV show. And the way we connected is that while we were in the hotel, before the show was done or before we were on the show, they brought a bunch of contestants in. They were kind of seeing who would fit and who wouldn't. And we couldn't talk to each other at all. So if you were in the hotel, you couldn't visit with anybody at all. You just had to walk around quietly, except when you were in your hotel room, Chisholm and I could talk. But other than that, you didn't talk. Well, they come in, they get us one day, and they're taking us down, and they say, listen, there's two other guys that are going to be on the elevator with you when you go down. Just a reminder, you can't talk to them. Which was really fine with me, because I didn't want to talk to anybody anyway. Because they were competition, right? Because it's a TV show, it's a game show. I was like, I don't really need to visit with anybody. I don't care. I know I was supposed to be a pastor, but they didn't know I was. So I, you know, anyway. So we get on this, we get on the elevator, and it turns out that this day that we actually were on there was the day that the Texas Rangers began their American League Championship Series against the Detroit Tigers, where the Texas Rangers swept them in 4 games. But that's a whole different sermon, okay?
We always got to tell this story.
Chisholm and I are wearing Texas Ranger shirts because we are the typical Texans and we're obnoxious and we wear our stuff, right? So we're wearing matching Ranger shirts. We get on the elevator and there's two gentlemen that are on, notice I called you a gentleman. There are two guys on the elevator with us, and we get in and we kind of nod at each other and we're standing there, and all of a sudden, one of the guys behind me says, "Texas Rangers, huh?" And I'm like, "Really? He's breaking the rules and he's talking about my Rangers? I don't get what's going on here." And he says, "I'm sorry for what's going to happen to your boys tonight." And I just remember kind of chuckling and going, "You're getting sent home first. Just figure it out right there." Okay. So I'm thinking, what a jerk. You're not even supposed to talk. And the first thing you say is this kind of deal. Well, Chisholm and I get back up to our room later, and the first thing we're talking about is the jerk on the elevator who's talking about our Rangers. And we're watching the game that night because we're still in the hotel. We still have TV, and after the game's over and the Rangers won, we're like, when can we go back to the elevator? When can we see these guys again, right? Well, we end up making the show. We end up getting cast, and they come and they say, here's the whole long room where you guys get to, the whole area where you guys get to live, and there's all these rooms. And every room has two twin beds and a bathroom, except for one room. It has two twin beds and a bathroom and a door to two more twin beds. So Chisholm and I get put in that room, and there's nobody else in there. And we're like, this is awesome. We got the biggest room in the house. They like us better than anybody else, right? All of a sudden, there's a knock at the door. We open the door, and it's the trash-talking guy and his brother, right? Turns out, this guy is a pastor, which I was a pastor as well. In the whole course of the show, there's been seven pastors on the show. On our season, they had two of us. They'll probably never have another pastor again. I'm just going to let you know. We ruined it for all the rest of you guys. So I don't think Blair needs it, so I think you're good. But anyway, but we both were pastors. We both began our careers in retail management. We both went from retail management and began to teach school. While we were both teaching school, we started working in youth ministry and ended up becoming youth pastors. And now we were both pastors. Exact same story, two different places in the world. And suddenly we're together. Creepiest, weirdest thing of all, his oldest son, his name is Isaac. And what I haven't told you is that Chisholm's first name is Isaac. So we start from the very beginning going, God's doing something here. This is crazy. I was not good with relationships as far as having good friends, having a guy that was a friend.
You weren't? Oh, just... just really messed them up.
Yeah, are you done? Yeah.
Go Tigers.
I'm watching the clock, and I'm going into your time.
Go, yeah, okay, sorry.
So relationally, I was just a typical guy. I just didn't have good friendships, and I didn't really care. I didn't want people that were close. And God said, you know what? I'm going to change that because you need somebody. You need somebody that can hold you accountable. You need somebody that can be a friend. And because of my relationship with Buddy, God has done some amazing, amazing things. And I've seen friendship like I've never seen in my entire life. I'm going to let him share, but we do have a real quick video that will give you kind of an idea of what God was doing with us. So if you've never seen the show, this is going to be your only glimpse of it, but I think you're going to be surprised at kind of what God was doing with each one of us.
Come on, you guys!
Get it! Let's go, Roy!
And with Roy, that's it! The red team has won this challenge!
That was close.
Damn it.
Hard work.
Oh, man.
Not knowing what's going on at home is the hardest part about being on the ranch. Joe was so homesick that he went home. That should show how everybody else here is feeling. I mean, we're not far off from him. The only difference is we're not willing to lose this opportunity for it.
I can't talk to my family without having Chisholm right there with me. I want to give it to Chisholm.
Obviously, this prize was amazing.
Yeah, it was.
I saw so many levels of emotion. Mark, you made a decision out there to pass your video off to Chisholm. Why'd you do that?
I've really struggled the last few weeks with just being homesick. Well, I mean, I've been married for 22 years, and my wife and I've never had a time where if we were away from each other, we couldn't at least communicate. So this is 3 weeks in, but Chisholm's got a girlfriend at home that he really misses. I know that he's missing his mom, and I wanted him to have it, so.
You know, I kind of identify with Mark. I'm all about my family, spend lots of time. That's partly why I'm here, because I want to be around a long time. And so I miss him, but But I have decided that I'm giving my reward to Mark. He's my friend, so I can sacrifice that for him. I want them to be a whole family. I really miss my wife and kids, but I know in Mark's heart what it would mean for him to be able to get together as a family.
I have to do that. Yeah, I do. I'm just completely overwhelmed because I didn't expect that. I didn't ask for that.
You need this.
Buddy, I can never repay you. This is one of the greatest things anybody's ever done for me, so thank you.
It always takes me back when I see these videos. It's hard to believe. I'm just like you, you know, when you forget things about your life, you go on Hulu to remember what happened to you, right? You know, it's a very valid question to ask, and we get asked it all the time. It's like, how does an average normal Joe from Wayne, Michigan wind up on a TV show? And can I tell you a surprising truth? It was, I believe it was in response to a desperate prayer that I made out to God. In 2006, my wife and I found ourselves in probably the most desperate situation that you could find yourself in as parents. When we were sitting in Children's Hospital and we watched our five-month-old daughter breathe her last breath. She had been born with many, many complications. The worst was a severe case of spina bifida. And so for 5 months, she had stayed in Children's Hospital, and we were fighting through it the whole time, praying and hoping, and then we were there at the last moments of her life. And by that point in life, I had already slowly gained weight up to 350 pounds. And then something inside of me just shut down. And I started gaining weight tremendously. I'm finding that a lot of people, when they have these traumas in life, turn to food like I did. And like me, gain another 100 pounds. I was 3 years ago, I was about over 450 pounds. So right now, just because I know you're curious, we're weighing in at about 280. I want to be about 220, 230 is where I'm heading to with God's help. So I find myself at 450 pounds, and in 2010, I woke up one day, and I'm thinking about my daughter that had passed away, and I'm looking over at the sofa, and those two beautiful girls that you saw on the screen, I'm looking at them, and they're 3 and 1, and I go, you know what? I'm missing this. Those two girls need their dad to walk them down the aisle in 25 years. And the way that I'm going, 450 pounds, blood pressure was 190 over 110. I had to use a CPAP machine to sleep with for 7 years. I'm not going to be here. But I don't know how to do this. I have failed miserably at this. And so I turned to God and I said, God, I desperately need your help. Because I, if not even for me, it's for those two girls. I'm supposed to be their dad, and I want to walk them down the aisle. And so I was reaching out to God in my heart, and I started going through the book of Romans, and I came across a passage in Romans 8 that really, really changed my life. And I was a pastor, mind you. And Romans 8, 31, 32 says, what then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? And all of a sudden, something finally clicked. Wait a minute, because as a pastor, I thought, I believe fully that God sent his son Jesus to atone for my sin. I had believed on that. But somehow my weight problem was my fault. And I didn't turn to God for that. It was almost like something I needed to pay for. And I read this and I go, wait a minute. The nature of God wasn't to say, you have a flaw, so I stay here. You have need. And he says, I came to seek and save that which was lost. I came. And if I'm the type that sends my son to heaven, I don't stay in heaven, and I did that for you, how would I not graciously help you, buddy? If it's the will of God for you to be physically healthy, I felt like God was encouraging me and saying, I'm going to come and help you. And I said, God, I made the most dangerous prayer you can make. Your will be done in my life just like it is in heaven. I just present myself, however you want to do it, I need help because my daughters need me. And all of a sudden, I started just trying to get on track and try to lose weight and doing Weight Watchers and things of that nature. And one Friday night, my brother gives me a call. Hey, what are you doing tomorrow? Oh, nothing. You want to go try out for NBC show The Biggest Loser? And like Mark, I was just like, sure, because we're clearly not going to make it. We're just these boring, they don't want pastors. They want some like drama queens or something, right? We're not interesting when it comes to Hollywood.
No, you're what they were looking for.
Yeah. I brought my drama queen with me. So anyway, we're going through the, we go the next day, and they give us a call, and they say, we want to go through the process. We want to have you back, and do you want to do an hour interview in a hotel? So I go, okay. So I go to my prayer closet, and I start talking to God, and I go, here's the deal, God. I absolutely, positively don't want to do this show. I have seen what they do to people. None of it looks fun. I don't take my shirt off in front of my friends. 12 million people, that's stupid. However, here's the deal. Since I asked you for help, and I understand how hard it is to go on this show, if a door opens, I'll walk through it reluctantly. I'm not going to try to get on TV. That's my deal. So, okay. So they told us to go to this interview. They go, you're a team, you and your brother, so go buy matching shirts or do something like that that's teaming. I said, okay, God, open door. I'll walk through it, grudgingly. And so I went, I go, you want matching shirts? So I went out and bought shirts that didn't come down far enough, so the bottom of my gut hung out. It was hideous. And they had horizontal stripes. If you're overweight, you know you go vertical. And I didn't think about anything I was going to say. I go, and so anyway, it turns out everything I'm doing backfires. Because at the beginning of the show, they want you to look just hideous so that at the end, if you look better, the transformation's more dramatic. And they didn't want you trying to get on TV, so everything I was saying that was just so natural, they're like, that's awesome. And I'm like, really? So they call me back like a month later, and they're like, we're loving the interview. I'm like, oh my gosh. So I go, okay. They go, we want to fly you out to California. 50 finalists, we're going to pick 20. Do you want to come? I go, okay, let me think about it. I go to my wife, and I go, here's the deal. I made another prayer to God. I said, here's the deal, God. I'm a husband, and I'd rather lose the weight at home, but again, if this is part of your plan, I'll go. But here's the deal. I'm not okay with my wife saying it's okay for you to go. My wife was pregnant. We had 3 children, and she was pregnant. I go, my wife has to look me in the eye and say it's absolutely the will of God for you to go. You must go. You're not allowed to stay. Because I go, clearly, that's not going to happen. So I told my wife, and she goes, let me pray about it. I go, oh, boy, praying women, whatever. Yeah, I'm just going. A week later, she comes back to me, and she goes, I was reading the book of John, and John 4:4 popped off the page to me. And it says this, and he needed to go through Samaria. Jesus had this out-of-the-way place. He had a destiny that he had to meet this woman at a well. And she goes, I don't know why, but I think God is trying to tell me you're supposed to go through your Samaria. I was like, really? You want me to go? And then so it's like about a week later, my wife comes to me. She goes, I got confirmation from God. You're supposed to go on Biggest Loser. I go, this is precious. Let's hear it. She goes, you know how you like Star Wars? I'm like, who doesn't? And she's like, I was on this website, and it came across it, and it says, every person who wants to become a Jedi must overcome a great obstacle before he becomes a Jedi. And I was like, do you have any idea how attractive you are to me right now? You went from Jesus to Jedi? I'm about to let out a Wookiee roar, woman. So here I am, a month later. I'm on the show. I get picked. I just can't believe it. God's just opening these doors. I'll turn it over to Mark here, but I want to let you know kind of our first experience, because people are always asking about that first workout. What is it like there? It's horrific. Just absolutely the worst. You're 400 pounds. It was 103 degrees in the gym. You haven't worked out in a decade. And we go, oh, we'll start you off with a 3-hour workout with trainers. That's fun. So I remember about halfway through the workout, I look around, and 9 of the 18 contestants are actually throwing up or unconscious. I look over. There was a guy in our season named Roy Pickler who looked just like Santa Claus. And he's on the ground, and he's laying. He's, like, making this noise. And I'm like, oh, my God, they killed Santa. What kind of show is this? What are we doing here? And Jeremy comes up to me after the show. He goes, you know how people will say, oh, I've been through a hard workout. Everyone's been through a hard workout. He goes, I actually now have the definition of a hard workout. I go, let's hear it, Jeremy. He goes, halfway through that workout, I looked over. I saw somebody that was unconscious, and I got jealous because they're getting a break. That's a hard workout. Tell us what it was like there, Mark. What was God doing at the ranch?
You know, that's the one thing that this may surprise you with TV. They don't show everything. And probably, in my opinion, I don't think they show all the stuff that probably people would like to see. When Buddy and I met each other and we started realizing the connection and all that, we both immediately went to the same place. We were going, God's doing something with this. We both were going, this is not coincidence. Because what they did in the very first workout, we were together, Chisholm and I were gray team, Buddy and Ben were brown team. But in that first workout, they said, hey, you know how you thought you were coming as couples and you were going to go through this together? You're actually not. So after the first workout, there was a black team and there was a red team. And they said, one of you is going to be with one trainer. The other one's going to be with the other trainer. And so I ended up picking red team because Chisholm wanted to be with Bob Harper, who was on the black team. We get our red team together. Buddy happened to pick the red team because Ben wanted to be with Bob Harper on the black team. So suddenly the two pastors, not only are we rooming together, not only do we have an incredibly similar experience in the past, we're on the same team together. And so we're going, this is not us. This is not just cool. This is not just about us losing some weight and getting healthy. God has some bigger plans with this. And there's no TV, there's no internet, there's no really no radio for a while. I mean, you have nothing to do but either work out, eat, sleep, or read. And I can tell you that we both got into the Word of God like probably, like I had never done in my life. And I'd been a pastor for a really long time. And so we dove in day after day, and we both started saying, you know what? What if we, within about 2 weeks, we said this. What if we did church? What if we just offered it? Because, I mean, it was such a part of who we were. Not the hey, somebody's got to come up and lead worship, and we need to do offering, and not, I mean, all, but just, I need to connect with people and just to pray and just open God's word with some other people. What if we just offered church? And Buddy brought this up, and I was like, I'm all in. Let's go for it. And he was like, we'll just open it up to all the contestants, and anybody that wants to come, they can come. And on Sundays was always a dark day, which meant there was no filming. And so we knew that we could get our workouts in, and Sunday night, every Sunday night during our season, we had church. We called it Blurch, for Biggest Loser Church. Because we're just like so creative, right? Okay? But it is easier to say than Finley Evangelical Free Church, I'm just going to say. All right?
That's legiticus.
So the very first week, we told everybody, we said, hey, we're going to start doing church at 7 o'clock on Sunday night. We're going to meet in the Biggest Loser living room, and we're just going to take some time together. Very first week, 6 people showed up. Of the 18 that were on the ranch, plus the production and casting people, 6 people showed up. Buddy and I, a mother, daughter, Chisholm, because he didn't have a choice, right, because he's my son, and then one other person was there. The next week, let me tell you what happened, guys, everybody came. The next week, everybody came, and any of the casting or production people that happened to be left that had to keep an eye on us, they started coming. And for the rest of the season, we had Blurch every Sunday night, and pretty much every person that was there that could come came. Now, you may think, God's doing amazing things, that's so awesome, and he was. But truth be told, we found out after the fact that the reason the contestants started coming is because they didn't think it was really church. They thought we were having a conversation about who was going to get sent home next. And so they would come in and go, okay, I'm not going to let them talk about me, I'm going to show up. But here's where God did amazing things. They would come and they'd realize we really weren't doing that, and they came anyway. They kept coming back over and over, and conversation started happening, and relationship started building. And Buddy and I would sit pretty much like this, and one of us would share scripture, and the other one would say, how can we pray for each other? And then the next week we'd trade. The other one would do scripture, and the other one would say, how can... And that's all church was. But every week we did that with these guys, and we got to start seeing God do some amazing, amazing thing. So many stories I could tell you. So many things I could tell you. God just absolutely stripped away everything from me. As a pastor, the name on the book, everybody loves to see that because they're like, I'm not sure what you're thinking when you name a book Undressed and you're a pastor, right? And you're putting that. I had somebody walk by the table yesterday. They walked by and then they went, oh, it did say that. That's literally what their comment was to me, right? But what that's about is the fact that as a pastor, I had all of these things. I grew up in the church. I'd done all of this stuff. And God put me in this situation. He said, I need to take everything away from you because you've put on a whole bunch of stuff that isn't really what's important to me. And so he took away my church because I was gone for so long. He took away my family. 3 months in, Chisholm actually got sent home, so I was there, just me, right? We ended up losing all control. We had no idea what was going to happen every day. I could not control anything. I didn't have to worry about my clothing. I didn't have to worry about my food. All of a sudden, I had nothing anymore. And God brought me to this incredible place of just complete emptiness. And then he said, now that I've got you here, I want to clothe you with what matters. And this passage here, Mark 12, 30 to 31, is really what just began to impact me even more. And it says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And the second commandment is as great as the first. Love your neighbor as yourself. And God was going, you know what? We make things in the church really, really, really complicated. We think it's all about, you know, what the chairs look like or what the you know, who's doing what, and all these. We have so many things that we make important, but initially the gospel was simple, guys. It was God saying, Jesus saying himself, love God with everything you have and love other people. That's it. He even says in Matthew 6 that if you'll just focus on him, he'll take care of all the rest. And so I started going, God, I don't have a choice here. I'm going to give you everything, and I'm just going to see what you do with it, because I'm at this empty place, and I just need to see what you're going to do. This picture here is the final four of the red team, all right? We actually made it, Buddy and I made it to the final five. There was one person left on the black team, four of us on the red team. This is the final four. The top picture is when we were actually in Washington, D.C. They took us to the White House. We got to work out with Michelle Obama, and just ridiculous. I mean, stuff everybody does, kind of thing. And so this is a picture of us when we were the final four. The bottom picture is the picture of the four of us 2 weeks ago. We still get to connect with these people. We still have a great relationship. We still continue to minister to these guys. And you need to know, when we did our church service, not everybody believed in God. This wasn't like a whole bunch of believers coming together and going, well, I'm Presbyterian. Are you going to do things? This was like, I don't believe in God. I'm agnostic. My family doesn't even talk about God. We had Mormons. We had Jehovah's Witness. We had everybody. It was coming from all different places. And still, everybody came. The guy that you see in the picture there in the green shirt in the top, his name is Jeremy. Jeremy ended up winning the entire thing. $250,000. He lost 200 pounds, right? Which is just amazing. But when church started, when Blurch started, the second week, he came to Buddy and I, and he said, listen, I want you guys to know something. I don't believe in God. I'm going to come every Sunday night because Chisholm's my best friend, and I have a lot of respect for you guys, but I'm going to come, and I'm going to go to sleep. It's totally what he told us. And so we looked at him and said, you know what? If you're not going to care about God's word, don't even bother coming in this room. No, we didn't say that. No, okay. All right. You know what? I love doing that at churches, but I'm always a little afraid somebody's going to go, amen. And then I'm going to be like, oh, wow. Right? No, we said, okay, come. Because as a youth pastor, I had preached many, many, many times, and students fell asleep, and they never let me know in advance. So this was pretty awesome, right? I was like, I know what to expect, right? And so Jeremy started coming, and sure enough, he would go to sleep. For the first couple of weeks, he'd pull up a bench. He'd get right there between Buddy and I, and he'd put his pillow down, and he would go to sleep. And then after a couple of weeks, Jeremy suddenly wasn't going to sleep anymore. He's still laying down. Then within a couple of weeks after that, he's sitting in one of the couches. After that, he starts having conversations with us. He's asking questions, and we're talking. Through a turn of events on the show, Jeremy ends up actually being put on our team, even when he wasn't on our team. And the last three guys that were left on the ranch together were two guys that were pastors and a guy who originally said he didn't believe in God. So we started talking all the time about God, talking about a relationship with Christ, and he would ask us questions, and then we'd talk about the show or strategy or things we missed at home, and all of a sudden the show is done and we're waiting for the finale to come. Buddy has this big deal up at his church in Michigan. He calls me and says, hey, I want to see if I can get some of the contestants to come up. Will you come up and preach at my church? And I said, absolutely. So Chisholm and I make the journey up there. My wife gets to go with us, and I preach in Buddy's church, and he has 11 of our season's contestants that made it to his church that Sunday morning. Had this massive turnout. It was just awesome. Two of the people that came were Jeremy and his sister Conda, who drove in from Grand Rapids, and they were at the church service with us. We get to the end of the service, and Jeremy is like right second row, right on the end. I still remember exactly where he was. I could tell you what he was wearing, what he looked like. And I get done, and I share this almost exactly the same thing that I'm talking about with you guys. This Mark 12:30. Talked a little bit about Matthew 6 and how God just wants us to live a simple life, and it's really about loving him and loving people. I get done, I go sit down, and Buddy gets up, and he says, listen, we want to give people an opportunity to respond to Jesus Christ this morning. But we're not going to do it in the traditional church way where you bow your head, close your eyes, hold your hand up, and then walk away and nobody knows. We're going to do it Biggest Loser style. And I start to kind of freak out because I'm like, I'm not taking my shirt off again and standing up. I don't know what he's doing, right? But he said, one of the biggest things about the show is that in order to acknowledge your problem, you get up and you take your shirt off and you stand on the scale. So if you acknowledge that you need Christ in your life, we're going to ask you guys just to stand up right where you are. And so the music starts playing. I'm sitting on the front row. I'm sitting next to Chisholm. I'm just looking. I'm just praying. And all of a sudden, I hear Kathy crying behind me, which is not an uncommon thing in church, especially if people are accepting Christ. My wife, she gets emotional like that. Well, then all of a sudden, Chisholm starts crying. And Chisholm's like, he's like poking me. He's like, Dad. And I look up, and standing behind me is Jeremy, standing straight up, letting everybody know that he needs to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. if you watch the end of our season, we got to dive in, and you know, one of the things that he told Buddy and I was, how could I not? He said, I walked and talked with you. I shared life with you guys. I threw out F-bombs and everything else, and you guys never, you showed me, he didn't know he was, but this is what he meant. You showed me grace, and I went, I got to have that. Such an awesome thing. If you watch season 13 of The Biggest Loser, you watch the finale, the very, very end, everything's done. Confetti goes off. Jeremy Britt, you have won The Biggest Loser of season 13. He comes and he waves to everybody. He turns around and he points up at the sky and the credits roll. That's how our season ends, is with a guy who originally said he didn't believe in God, giving credit to God, and then the credits roll, and that's what happened. And I tell you what, people ask us all the time, would you do that again? Would you go be on The Biggest Loser? And no matter what, all the pain, all the struggle, everything that we went through, if it resulted in that very thing again, I would do it all over again, because that's the only thing that really matters.
Let me wrap it up with this next slide, a passage. It's like, so what happens after the show, buddy? What does that look like? And when I got home, there was a passage that really stirred up in me from 2 Corinthians. It's 1:4. And it talks about God comforting us in our afflictions and in our troubles so that we can be a comfort to others in their troubles. And I want to encourage you, whatever your troubles are. Some people have physical things like me, self-discipline problems. Some people have relational problems. Can I tell you that when you open your life to God, that he does come and comfort you in your troubles? And can I tell you that the plan is way bigger than you could possibly imagine? You're thinking, well, probably like me, God, could I even lose weight? I've failed at this for 20 years. And God's saying, like, when you let me in, it's going to be way bigger than you could even imagine. This picture, kind of wrapping up, is Kim Nielsen, one of those final four. I started a health program in my hometown a year ago, and Mark and Kim came up for that. And we gave an invitation for salvation at the end of the community health program. Had nothing to do with church. They came to our church for the wrap-up of it. And we gave an invitation to accept Christ as your personal Savior, the one believing on him. I talked about becoming the biggest loser in life. And that was my message, was that he who seeks to lose his life for the sake of the gospel will gain it. He who says before God, I'm not going to stand here on my own merit, God, but instead of that, I'm going to lose my life and present Jesus to you instead of me. If you want to do that, raise your hand. And hands started going up all over the place, but the very first hand I saw rocked my world, and it was Kim Nielsen. It was the person who took second behind Jeremy. First hand raised, saying yes to Christ. And I'm just going, this is 18 months after a TV show in Hollywood where God connected us with this girl, an ex-professional wrestler, WWE crazy stuff, and she's in my home church in Wayne, Michigan, giving her life to Christ. This picture was taken 2 weeks ago because, again, I had this health program, and I invited them up. Mark and Kim came, and she texted me, and she goes, hey, I've been going through this really radical change in my life. I went home, and I actually had to check into rehab. I've been 100 days sober, and as part of this, I've been reading The Purpose-Driven Life, and I just wanted to know if while I'm there, if you and Mark, my brothers in Christ for all eternity, would be willing to water baptize me. And I was like, this is the moment that you're seeing here, where Kim's getting water baptized. This is part of the Biggest Loser plan. It wasn't just we've lost weight and it's helped us, but it was about these relational issues. It was to date so far, we had two co-contestants give their lives to Christ. Mark and I have baptized three contestants, and we've officiated weddings for two of the contestants on the show. We're thankful for all he's doing, and God comforts us in our troubles, and we're well aware that the comfort he's given us, one of the reasons we're here, is to offer it to you. That if you're still in the back place, if you're still in the place of going, hey, I need your help, God, I just want to encourage you that he's going to come to the rescue in a way that's bigger than you dare even hope. Pastor Blair, let's turn it back over to you.